Welcome to LPM Podcast with your hostess of the horrid, your girly of the grizzly and ghastly, the compare of all things cheesy. I am La Petite Mort, LPM, and my co-host, El Sammy Bisto. Who is quiet? The puppies of purgatory are laying in wait because we had snack platter of Greek food, and they would like some lamb with a shot of ouzo. You were listening to Punk Chileno and Anarcha? How do you say it? That sounds right, huh? Anarcha? We're going to go real old school with a movie tonight. It's a 1962 classic called Panic in Year Zero. It's actually, I thought it was okay.
Not Panic in the Disco.
No, not Panic in the Disco. The IMDb summary says, a family of four leaves Los Angeles for a camping trip just before a nuclear bomb destroys the city. As lawlessness prevails, the father must fight to keep his family alive. It was in black and white. And Frankie Avalon was in it. If you know who he is, he was a singer back in like the 60s. A teen idol before there was American Idol and all this other crapola music that there is today. And reality TV shows that make people famous for no other reason than being on TV and acting the fool.
Just for a minute.
15 minutes. Andy Warhol. They're all getting their 15 minutes and try to cash in on as much as they can. But anyway, we have Ray Milland plays the father. And I actually just saw another old movie with him.
Everybody Loves Raymond?
No. He was in another old movie called The Big Clock. And it was like a thriller, suspense, murder, mystery. And it's worth a watch if you see it coming on like TCM or one of those old movie channels. They've been playing it kind of a lot. But on with the movie. The movie starts off with the family and yeah, they're taking off for the camping trip. And it's early morning and the kids are all PO'd because they got to get up. It was like 4:10 or something like that. And they hop into the car with they had a nice trailer on the back of the car. I think it was a Mercury Monterey, but I'm not sure. Their car. Anyway. On their drive out, they hear some rumbling and, you know, they're thinking it's gonna rain, there's thunder. So they stop on the side of the road to make sure, like, their trailer windows are all shut up. Because, you know, so stuff doesn't get ruined. But, uh-oh. They see some flashes and they're like, that's not lightning or thunder. And maybe they're testing something. You know, they are in California and back then they did a lot of testing down that way of different stuff. Bombage stuff, I guess.
But Vegas is that way.
Yeah, but Vegas is that way. Then there's big lights and booms and nothing's coming in on the radio, and except one station that gives them some kind of weather report, and I forgot what county that was from. And they're getting, like, panicked, and they decide to stop at a payphone in a big box to call home and check with the mother, who's still in Los Angeles, where they live. Do you remember the big payphone boxes? They really don't have those anymore. You know?
They're great to pee in.
They're great to pee in? Really? That's gross. Anyway, They're not getting through, and the operator says the lines are temporarily out of order, and she doesn't know why, and she doesn't know what's going on. She's just an operator. She's just sitting in a booth with the big earphones on. She don't know.
I do not have that information yet.
I do not have that information. So then they're kind of worrying, and they decide maybe we should turn around and, you know, go back home and check on Mom. And just then, big mushroom cloud. Yeah. I wouldn't think anyone would want to head in the direction that a mushroom cloud just came from. But apparently, they do. They're that worried. Me, I'd be like, oh, sorry. I love you, but sorry. And, you know, the emergency broadcasting system finally comes over the radio. Saiyan seems like, there may have been a nuclear bomb that went off, but, you know, they're just alleging that. They haven't heard anything. You know, what do you think, since there's a huge mushroom cloud over the Los Angeles vicinity?
Let's go to Los Angeles and poke it with a stick!
So they stop at this gas station and they start talking to that guy who's still in his bathrobe and getting gas. And this was the time when all gas stations had attendants who pumped your gas for you. And this guy's seen things and he's headed out. And here's where you see society beginning to break down. Because the guy hasn't got money to pay for gas, so he slugs the gas station attendant and he takes off in his car. Pump and run.
But he wanted $4 to fill up his tank. That's highway robbery.
That's right. And so this makes the dad want to hightail away just like all the others are hightailing it out of town. So he decides, you know, they're going to stop in a little town at a restaurant, you know, to try to get stuff. Which made me think, well, made us think, if they must have not been going camping like when we go camping and we, like, load up ice chests with 2 weeks' worth of food for 3 days in the woods.
Because you never know when the apocalypse is going to come.
Yeah, and you would think they still had ice chests in 1962 in their trailer. But they go to this little town and they head into a restaurant and food's running out in the restaurant and they're raising the prices immediately. So Pops decides, and I think his name was Harry, they'll go on their camping trip just as they planned. And for the next few weeks, survival is going to have to be on an individual basis. There is no more community. And they need to get away to get food. And they need to get away to protect food. So that sounds like a pretty good little survivalist tactic to me. So they're going to head off, you know, to the hills, mountains, wherever. And let's see. They go to another little town that apparently people haven't started going off into yet because everything's closed down. All the stores are closed still, and it's like a little ghost town, but it's a little country town. And he finds this grocery and he wakes the grocer up and offers to make him some big bucks if he lets him in to make groceries before they open at 9 a.m. And he was pretty smart little cookie because he got, like, canned goods and dried goods and candles and soap. And he tells his kids, don't get anything liquid, but get some candy bars, you know, preserved in sugar. They'll last pretty much forever. Like Twinkies. They're going to go to the hills and rough it for a while. And, hey, grocer, while you're at it, can you wake up the hardware store guy? And so I can get in there, too. And that's exactly what you said. You were like, if they're smart, they'd go to the hardware store and get guns. So we were waiting to see what he gets at the hardware store. But before he goes there, he does tell the grocer to close up his store, take all his merchandise that he can carry, and get the hell out. And the grocer's like, why? And the hardware guy has heard stuff, so he's a little bit smarter to the situation. And they didn't really show, like, much of what he did get there, except, like, some gas cans. But, yeah, he did get the guns. But he only had enough cash for the other supplies and not enough for the guns. So he starts a brawl with the owner and pulls the gun on the owner. And the son pulls a gun on the owner and they take off and escape with the slew of guns. But he does promise the shopkeeper he'll come back and pay him what he owes eventually. So they're getting where people have come, you know, lined up across the road not to let folks into their town. What do you call that? Not vigilante stuff, but They kind of block the roadway so that people can't cut into their towns. Because people, last, a militia force, because the last folks that came in, like, destroyed stuff. So, what do you think he does? No, he plows right through the line of folks. He's like, they'll move. And so they stop to look at a map. And at one point where they're looking at the map, these three little juvenile delinquent hoodlums come and try to start crap with them. But Dad's the only one they see because, like, Junior, who is Rick, and the mom and sister are all hidden in the trailer. But Rick's pretty smart, and he sticks, they don't see him, but he's sticking his little rifle or shotgun out the window of the trailer so that when the hoodlums start crap with the dad and steals the dad's gun, Junior shoots one of them in the shoulder, and they take off. And then they finally get to where they have to cross this major intersection because they've been trying to keep to the back roads and away from everything. And that road was worse than sitting in hurricane evacuation traffic. It wasn't that bad because they were moving quick. It was just they couldn't make it across because there was no break in traffic. And they wanted to cross to get to the other little road on the other side. And the dad is like, I'm going to make a stop sign. So they can get across the road. Then it was pretty smart, although he wasted a whole bunch of gas. He threw gas across the road and lit it on fire so all the cars screeched to a stop. And they could get their car and trailer across to another little road. And they're trying to think about somewhere to live that isn't well known. And they decide on this hidden cave that Rick found the year before when they were camping. And they did do a good little thing, although, I mean, they knocked down the bridge that was going over this little creek, although people could still walk through it. I guess it's a little deterrent from the bad people because they're trying to isolate themselves. But what did Dad say? You can never truly be isolated?
Yeah.
But they tried, and they did get rid of the trailer. They emptied out the trailer and ditched it, and they wound up camo in the car with a whole bunch of branches and leaves somewhere, and they took the distributor out so that if anybody found it, they couldn't take off with it, which was a good little idea, too. I mean, it was kind of a smart little movie for its time. I don't think people nowadays would think of that on their own because they're so freaking... I know, retards. Sorry. Yeah.
Why fill up anything with water?
But the cave they're living in, it's pretty dang spacious. It was nice. I would have lived there. And they decked it out pretty nice, too, with all their camping stuff. But the dad did another smart thing, which makes me think, you know, this is why I'm saying it was a pretty good little movie for its time. He divided up all their supplies into six and buried them in six different areas and camouflaged the little burial areas so that if anybody did come and, like, tried to force them to their hiding place, they'd still have stuff hidden everywhere else. And you knew eventually other people would find them, eventually. And who would have thunk it would have been the hardware store guy? Guess he really wanted his money, huh? But it turns out they were living in the, him and his wife were living in the trailer they ditched down by like a creek or something. And he would like for them to come and visit. And he wanted to buy some food off of them, but Harry freezes them out and is like, screw you, bitches. Rick does wind up shooting a deer. And I like how he carries the buck back around his shoulders and then takes him down off his shoulders with one arm and plops him down. That was a light buck. But Rick shot the deer with one shot. And there were two other shots fired? So who shot the other two shots? Maybe
who shot the sheriff?
Yeah, maybe somebody else was hunting. But not really. They were hunting people. It turns out someone killed the hardware store guy and his wife in the trailer. And Harry and Rick go to this farmhouse that's further down the way that they keep seeing smoke from and come to find out it's the hoodlums there. And they're living in the farmhouse and they drove off in the hardware store guy's van. So they must have been the bad people that did it. Then this part, it was kind of creepy to me. I know nowadays it wouldn't be considered creepy, but Mom and Sis are down by the river and they're doing some laundry when a piece of clothing like escapes them and they don't see it and it goes downstream. And those two hoodlums were hanging out downstream and they see this piece of laundry and it's like a girly piece of laundry and automatically they're like, must find woman. And they corner the sister, who's Karen. And they start tossing her back and forth between them, where they're sniffing on her and kissing on her. And they carry her into the woods where she's screaming. Mom hears her and picks up the rifle and goes to find her. And as the mom's coming with the shotgun, the delinquents take off and their shirts untucked. So it, like, leaves you with innuendo to believe that maybe they did a little something to her that they shouldn't have been doing. So the mom starts shooting at him, but she's missing, and they take off, and so now it's time for Pops and Rick to take care of business. So they go down to the farmhouse and bust in the door, and the two bad boys are sitting on the sofa in front of a beautiful fireplace drinking some cans of Budweiser. And they, you know, pop them two dudes off. Boom, boom. There was no blood, though. That was the interesting thing about this movie. They shot both of them, like, in the stomach with shotguns, and there was no blood. But there was a chick they had locked up in the bedroom, and it turns out she had lived there. But those boys came in and killed her mother and father, and she was in her slip in the bedroom. So I guess they'd been having their way with her, too. And Harry and Rick try to get her to leave because the other guy might be coming back and they'll take care of her and the mom and Sis will take care of her. So she'll be all right. So now Rick has a chance to get him a girlfriend and her name is Marilyn, the chick from the bedroom. Whoop, whoop. And he even tried to woo her by asking her to go check his rabbit traps with him. So romantic. And the dad thinks she's a good match for Rick because she can shoot a shotgun. So while Rick chops firewood, she can stay and watch and shoot people. So that would be like a match made in heaven. And the third hoodlum winds up tracking down Marilyn and Rick, and she shoots the hoodlum shoots Rick in the leg, and oh no! They have to get him to the doctor, because he's been hit above the knee, like in the thigh area.
Right by his junk.
No, it was lower than his junk. So.
That's how he sinks so high.
Yeah, yeah. So Marilyn knows where there's a doctor, and there used to be a doctor in the town, and they go to this little abandoned town that's all torn up and ramshackled. And the doctor wouldn't answer his door, so the dad kind of breaks into the house and finds a phone book and finds the nearest available doctor and goes to his house and knocks on the door. And the doctor comes out with a gun. But I love how the doctor had to inspect the dad's arms for track marks before he'd agree to help him. I guess people were junkying it up during the time of the apocalypse. Woo-hoo. Yeah. He patched up Rick, but tells them they need to get him to Wheaton. That's where the last time they heard on the radio there was like civilization reconstruction set up.
What does Will Wheaton have to do with
me? No, not Will Wheaton. The town is called Wheaton. And that's just the place they wanted to avoid. But the doctor tells him he's only got about 3 hours to live because his artery got nicked and I've patched him up, but it won't hold. He needs blood. And The doctor doesn't have electricity, so he can't have anything in there except plasma. He had plasma. And he's like, keep to the back roads and keep your gun on you. So they're headed to the back roads, trying to get to that place. And this car truck stops them and scares the hell out of them with a machine gun shooting up in front of them. But it's okay. Because, hey, it's the army. Hooray! It's the army. And the army tells them, hey, it's okay. There's a station 10 miles ahead with an emergency area. And they'll save Rick. Yay! And the movie ended with like some words on the screen about being a new beginning and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't bad for a 1962 flick. It came on a double DVD with the Vincent Price, The Last Man on Earth movie, and I wound up staying up and watching that last night too, which is off the short story I Am Legend, which Omega Man and the new movie I Am Legend was based off of. But the Vincent Price one was pretty cool because they were vampires. And they were mostly vampires. And he had the bacillus that, you know, was taken over and they couldn't get the vaccine or a cure. But then he found the group of people who were vampires but had a vaccine and a medicine. And, of course, it ended where he found if he transfused his blood to one of the chick vampires, it cured her. But then she got bit by another vampire. And the group she was in with who were keeping themselves stabilized wound up killing him because he had been going in during the day and killing everybody, and he killed some of their people, so they were pissed off, but he just wanted to save them. Damn Murphy's Law in these movies. Damn them. That was also a very good movie. I hate to say, if you get a chance to see The Last Man on Earth, I think it was 1964 or 1960 with Vincent Price, totally take the time to watch it. It was actually, I enjoyed it more than Omega Man. But so we're going to take a little break and you get to listen to some Muzak, and we'll come back and I'll tell you who was playing in. We'll go through some upcoming events.
Swimming by the subway too. All the choices of where to eat. Seen them all, can't see your feet. You what you eat, that's what they say. You take the piss, what do you weigh? Papa John's, Domino's, Burger King and Betty Toes. It's more, more, more. Me, 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 me. It's more, more, more. Me, me, me. Fucking food and burgers too. Look what that does to you. You're extra large, you wonder why. You take your seats until you die. You're fucking angry, what can you do? Stomach's rumming for a sub or two. All the choices of where to eat. Seen them all, can't see your feet. More, more, more. Me, me, me. More, more, more. Me, me, me.
Come in, come in. Loads of stuff for all the family, with the kids. We've got troughs for everybody. Come in. Plenty to go around. Okay, what do you want? You want more?
More, more, more. Me, me, me.
an announcement of the birth of a brand new baby girl. In the caption of a picture of the newborn fast asleep, we are truly blessed. There are now seven Johnson apostrophe. Yes, seven Johnsons, what? Seven Johnsons, what? Seven Johnsons, what? That suspended little girl makes it possessive. And I feel what did before. Yeah, belong to Seven Johnson. Besides that, tell me, just who is Seven Johnson? Two kiddos play together. They have themselves a really splendid time. But in a letter from a mother, she writes to a friend. She has to confess, better times were had by the mommy. Apostrophe, yes. The mommy's right, the mommy's right, the mommy's right. That suspended little girl makes it possessive. And I'll pay what you before. On the internet, I stumble across a certain blog. One entry looks interesting, about a trip to a petting zoo. Less wordy than the rest, take a look at these photo apostrophe, yes. These photos work, these photos work, these photos work. That suspended little girl makes it possessive. And I'll pull it back in the world. Yeah, belong to this photo. I need to see what belongs to this photo. Down the sidewalk, I pick up a big red rubber ball. There is a message written on it for all the world to see. It is thus addressed, property of the Allen.
Apostrophe, yes, the Allen's one, the Allen's one, the Allen's one.
That suspended little girl makes it possessive. And I'll pull what did before. Yeah, belong to the Allen. This man belongs to something belonging to the Allen.
We'll be right back. cherry. She used to be cute, but kinda scary. The other one that left and took my cherry, she said, excuse me, bring it back. And I can't hide till they got inside, wrapped up in a tattered suitcase with my pride. Went down to the local library, had this book since 1990, and she said, oh, so politely, you better bring it back. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Da, 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 da. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me.
So you were just listening to Blunt, More, 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 Goldfish, Case of Misused Apostrophe, Scomber with, excuse me. We have some great upcoming events. Actually tonight, which will probably be passed once we have this up and running, is at the Rack House Pub. We're having a hot, hot holiday show. Burlesque, Amundo Burlesque. $10 if you have the flyer, $10 presale. It's going to be a fun show. But on December 10th, which is next Friday, the Mighty 18-Wheeler is going to be playing at Larimer Lounge at 8 p.m., 2721 Larimer Street. Go to MySpace for Mighty 18-Wheeler, or just 18-wheeler under MySpace to find out more info. Burly Cute presents Naughty Noel Burlesque. That's two nights this month, the 16th and the 23rd at 8 p.m. at Bender's Tavern, which is 314 East 13th Avenue. I'll be there on the 16th, but not the 23rd, you know. We have family invasion, so I won't be performing that night. But go to burlycute.com for the info. That's going to be a really fun show. Peaks and Pasties Holiday Striptacular. That's down in the Springs. And it's going to be at the Black Sheep, which is 2106 East Platte Avenue, December 18th, 8 p.m. That's Lola Spitfire and her crew. They have invited me and Lady Shaname down from Denver. And we're going to be partaking of their holiday adventure. Holiday Striptacular. So we're going to leave you with a little more Muzak, and we'll be back with some more fun info of movies coming soon and other random thoughts of ours.
Freedom and mama, I wanna be a man. Ah. burning to make you mad. To my will, no social learning makes you pretend. It's all that you choose. You choose. You'll lose all that you choose. Do you want to live forever? Of all that you choose, you choose. You'll lose all that you choose. I have crossed times. I have crossed times. I have crossed times to make you mine. I have crossed times for my bloodline. It's all that you choose, you choose. You'll lose all that you choose. It's all that you choose, choose. You'll lose all that you choose. It's all that you choose.
Just listening to was Horseshit Gunfire, Hard Water Drain, Fallen Leaves, All That You Choose, No Hope for the Kids, and Eyes of War. There really is no hope for the kids nowadays, is there? I don't know. Maybe there is. I don't know. Kids today are boring. Coming soon. Do it, do it.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
Priest in 3D. Now, you know, I am curious to see this movie because I read the Priest comic book of Purgatory, which was like the prequel to what this movie's going to be. And it's kind of interesting. It's a priest who disobeys church law to track down vampires who kidnapped his niece. But the vampires in it are kind of alien-esque, creepy-looking, no rational thought. They're just kind of destroyers, attackers, bloodthirsty creatures of the night, as vampires should be. I don't think it's romanticized at all. So it looks kind of... I thought it looked kind of cool. So that's coming. And also, they have the movie Red Riding Hood coming out, which I've only seen parts of trailers, but it kind of looks... To me, the visuals have that effect of the Tim Burton Sleepy Hollow period piece. And it's got the daughter from Big Love, Amanda Seyfried, whatever her name is. It's hard to say. I'm sorry I'm mispronouncing your name. I like you, though. She's going to be Red Riding Hood. And it's set in a medieval village that is haunted by a werewolf. A young girl falls for an orphaned woodcutter, much to her family's displeasure. So it's more like werewolf. It looks kind of creepy. I'm interested to see that. Now this, I can't believe they're remaking, much less remaking it in 3D. I don't know if I'm going to pay to go see this at the theater at all. It's a remake of the comedy horror picture about a teenager who discovers his new next-door neighbor is a vampire. You know it. You loved it. It's Fright Night.
Fright Night!
But they're remaking it in 3D. And it's going to be totally CGI'd. You know it. It's going to suck ass. I can tell. Can tell! Do we have anything else to add much, Sammy? Except, if you would like to contact us, please do so. We now have our wonderful new website, lpmpodcast.com. I believe you're allowed to leave comments there. Please do so. You can always call us at our phone number, which is on the website as well, and leave us a message. And if you're nice, we might play it. If you are a band or know someone who is in a band who would like their music plugged, let us know. We'd love to plug it. Also, if you have great events around Denver, let us know that too, because we're always wanting to plug for our peeps. We like to get the word out. And we're going to leave you. We're going to say adieu. Au revoir. A vida, Zane. Goodbye. And we're leaving you with Necronomicon Quartet. I can't even say this. Auf Stelzen durch die West. I hope I said it halfway correct. If not, I'm very sorry. If you are the band, leave us a message. Let us know how to say it. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.